And joining me in the Care of Yes studios this afternoon is Bob Carriker, who is head of the Department of History, Geography, and Philosophy here at UL Lafayette. He himself is a professor of history. He also wears many other hats.
And many other articles of clothing as well.
That's right. You have just published through the UL Press a book called Boudin, A Guide to Louisiana's Extraordinary Link.
I have.
And your interest in Boudin has been long, and it's been a long journey to the publication of this book.
Long and fully packed.
And fully packed, right. That's a guess. Okay, I can see this could be full of puns here. You, oftentimes people say that we really get to learn about certain aspects of our culture when someone from the outside comes in and focuses on it.
I think that can be very true.
Yes, you're not from Louisiana. Where are you from?
Well, you know, that's that. I am from Louisiana.
Okay,
I mean,
at
some point in a person's life, they are where they are from where they live and will probably die. So I am originally born and raised in Spokane, Washington, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my outsider claim to fame.
And when did you come to your new home?
I came to my new home in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Right, when I came here to join the history department.
All right. And when was your first taste of Boudin? Before you came to Louisiana? Or
I had never been to Louisiana before I arrived here for my interview, right? Mm-hmm. We did a job interview. And on my second day of the interview, so my second day in the state, Julia Frederick, who is the director of our university honors program, mm-hmm. was tasked with taking me around for a little tour before they put me on the airplane to go back to Arizona, where I was in graduate school. And it occurred to her that she should probably take me to Bio's in Broussard, your favorite, okay, and give me a taste of something truly uniquely Louisiana. And so she did that, and it was a Sunday morning, and it was probably about 11 o'clock noon, and we went in and got this sausage, and then I sat in the front seat of her car sucking sausage with her for the next, 20 minutes.
Some paper towels or
paper what? Towels. I don't remember the details. I just remember the awkwardness.
You're remembering some details here, right?
I remember the awkwardness of it all. And I remember calling my wife and saying, not sure what just happened, but
it's changed my life.
I think things have gone well.
There probably aren't many other job interviews around the country that happen that way.
I don't think so. And there are probably regulations against it.
Sure. So you weren't quite sure what had happened, but you were pretty sure it was a pleasant experience?
Right, yeah. Well,
level.
Yeah, certainly. You mean the interview or the Boudin?
The Boudin. Was there a moment at which you thought, I've got to have this available all the time to me, so we're coming here?
No,
it didn't
happen
like
not
that.
Really. I mean, the reality is that this direction, this path that I have taken that has included Boudin in a big way, is really, it's a very much a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. It's not about my ever-present need to stuff my face with pork and rice.
I know that
blows the lid off of things, I realize. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds a lot better to think that that is me, but it's really very much a creative outlet for me.
Well, however you made the decision, you did decide to come here.
Right.
And you are a historian, so you have certain skills available to you.
We all have certain skills.
Yes, but that have to do with research and that have to do with finding out information. And so what is your area?
Right. My area is U.S. history, but public history. So mm-hmm. I actually came here to begin a public history program, which is essentially history outside of the classroom, historic preservation, history and historical sites and parks and museums, archives, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Which has become very important to research here at the university and in Louisiana.
Yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been a field that has been growing by leaps and bounds since really the 1980s.
Right. And one thing that has become very much a part of that, even though it kind of goes into folklore, I guess, are foodways.
Right.
Very much
right.
a part of the popular history outside of the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for me, this did not begin as an academic pursuit. in any way, shape, or form. I'm still not entirely sure that it is.
That it is, but you have a book out of it.
Right, exactly. But no one invited me here to talk about my book on the New Deal.
That's right. So
anyway, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
And here we are.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So you came here and started these studies and really helped.
Well,
to be, not on Buddha, but on public history.
Right.
And so how did it happen that you began kind of in a little more systematic way your study of Buddha, which has led to this book?
Yes.
I know you had a kind of a partner, and years ago we did have you on KRVS when your website, Boudin Link, became very popular and people became aware of your work.
My work.
Because I'm going to call it a work.
Yes.
So how did that happen?
My parents are so proud.
They are. Oh, I will. So, remember Foodways.
Foodways. So, you know, it began completely on a lark, and what it began as was I came here as an outsider, and people here are very warm, very friendly, very proud of, you know, this unique place that they live, and wanted to share it with me. And so one of the things that they wanted to share was this really unique, cool food that everybody was connected to. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't go back to that first experience. This is entirely
separate. That's just a part
of the story. Now is separate from that.
Right.
And so we actually had, in the history department, we had a secretary. Her name was Sheila. And Sheila lived somewhere out near Scott. And Sheila would bring in a box of boudin in the morning, right? Every once in a while. Uh-huh. And I know you're shaking your head saying, well, of course she did. This is what we do. But that isn't what we do outside of this area.
Most people do donuts.
Donuts or scones or, God forbid, fruit, something like that. At any rate, and so you know the conversation. The conversation was, oh, wow, this is really good. And other people would say, yeah, that's great stuff. And then somebody in the room would say, oh, well, if you think that's good stuff, you've got to try this other place. Mm-hmm. And so I would go and try that other place because I was here and I was trying to learn about this new location that I lived in. We had no family connections here, anything of the sort. And so I would go and try that place. And then back in the office, you know, on Monday or Tuesday, oh, what did you do this weekend? Say, oh, I went out to Billy's and gave their boudin a try. It was really good. And then somebody else in the room would say,
Oh,
well, look, if you thought that was good,
you've got to try.
What I quickly came to realize was that people knew their boudin.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't necessarily know the other place's boudin. And this was actually 2004,
it was very subjective.
I guess, when I decided to maybe I could actually compile this into a website. And this is, you know, you could get a free web domain and goof around with this new technology, this new medium that I hadn't otherwise been trained in. So I thought this would be an interesting outlet. And one thing has led to another. Now the website itself gets a tremendous amount of attention across the country and really internationally. It's led to in-flight magazine articles, newspapers from Seattle to Philadelphia have picked it up and written stories on it. And I've now reviewed and rated over 185 different links of boudin.
There are that many.
There are. Well, and the list can continue.
Growing.
Yeah, it keeps
Maybe
growing.
Maybe you've inspired
more
places.
The link expands.
Well, and you set this up in a very interesting way, and I guess this is where, you know, maybe your skills as a researcher and someone who thinks in terms of analyzing and categorizing, because the way you approached it was really interesting, and maybe no one had really ever thought about doing it in such a systematic way. So describe how y'all started to analyze the Buddha. Well, you had categories.
We had categories. Well,
maybe I'm making it sound too academic.
You may be making it sound too academic.
But I never heard anyone really talk about it or write it down in the
You mean
way.
In terms of the consistency of the casing and the rice to meat ratio and whether it was wet or dry or
But you gave
like
them
this.
Grades on
Right, and
like
then grades.
Yes.
And then grades, from an A+ to down to about a C- is actually as low as it goes.
So you were taking out of that very subjective realm where you would just hear people go, oh, this is better or this is... You were giving people a way to think about it.
Giving them a way to think about it and really giving myself a way to think about it too so that it was more than just... You know, I don't like this. And it makes it, it made it a lot more interesting for myself, but also obviously for the people who go to the site and read this stuff, because that gave them something to actually read about. And after 185 different links, it has gotten a little bit difficult to
to distinguish
to keep it fresh. the thesaurus
has only so many ways to
wore out a long time ago.
The Boudin thesaurus wore out.
I started making up words like porktastic and things like this.
So there is an element of the fantastical at your Boudin site. In addition to the site itself becoming worldwide, you began the Boudin Festival.
Right. Well, and we have to not say the Boudin Festival because somebody that owns that
What is it called?
Shut us down. The Boudin Cook-Off.
The Boudin Cook-Off.
Right. And really, the intent was that it wasn't going to be a traditional festival, which is, you know, kind of the model for that is a multi-day thing that is this music-centric. And so we really thought that if it was a Boudin Cook-Off, that that could be something different and would maybe fit our abilities a little bit more. It's very much a homegrown mom and pop sort of thing, myself being pop, I guess, in that. And the idea was, well, so I've gone out and tried to categorize and explain and rate all of these places. And I certainly encourage other people to do the same thing. And I heartily do because
I think you'll have maps on
the
site.
We have maps, but it's just a great, it is such a great way to get out there and do something,
see
the countryside and do something healthy with your, you know, your kids or your dogs or just you on the road or whatever.
Well, the activity is healthy.
Healthy in a, yeah, right.
But also to explore, like you said, most people know only their Boudin. And
right.
So this really lets you explore different areas of Acadiana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but then the cook-off itself was, well, why don't we bring these all, or as many as will come, to a centralized location, and people can do their Boudin run and their sampling right there. And it's really turned into
kind
something.
Kind of like a beer tasting where you can just have several different types and you don't have to drive 50 miles to get to that.
Right. And it has taken on very much a life of its own. This last year, which this was our fifth year, and it was picked up and listed as one of the top 10 best food festivals in the entire country. Not in Louisiana, but in the entire country. So apparently it has something.
Right. And I'm sure you no longer measure it by the number of links, but how many tons now? I think y'all are measuring in tons of Boudin.
I've heard that statistic.
And I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, we're talking about Boudin because my guest, Bob Carriker, who is a professor of history at UL and head of the Department of History, Geography, and Philosophy, has just published through the UL Lafayette Press his book on Boudin called Boudin, A Guide to Louisiana's Extraordinary Link. And that has come out of all of these experiences that we've been talking about.
Yes.
And he's still smiling about it. Even though it may be hard to pull up those words to describe it, you're still smiling when you talk about Boudin. Now, one of the things I loved about this book was the history that you have in here. And you've got some great photographs.
Oh, my gosh.
Book.
Well, you know, the photography is so key to what it is. And we made a decision that we would try and hire the best photographer that we could possibly get, and that was Denny Culbert. And when you send him out on a mission to do a photo shoot at 28 different Boudin locations, you think to yourself, gosh, I wonder how this is going to go because, you know, a link is a link is a link to some extent.
And we've all seen really bad photographs of Boudin.
It's very easy to do.
Yes.
Yeah, it's easy to take a bad photograph.
When I opened this book, I was very pleasantly surprised.
And so when you bring on a true artist like that, you benefit from it. And so, the book is very photo-centric, and it brings a quality to it that it could not otherwise have if it was just writing about Boudin, because it's not about that. It's about seeing it, and getting your mouth watering.
That sensual experience. But again, the history is really interesting for anyone who, again, just knows their local Boudin, but may not know much about how it started, how old that tradition is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that artifact you have in there with the horn Boudin stuffer.
Oh, right.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. Before there were mechanical stuffers, people were using bull horns that were cut off and fairly short. You might think that it would be a long bullhorn, right? But a fairly short tip of the bullhorn hollowed out and then the end cut off. So it was, you know, a circular item. And they would stuff the boudin using that device with their thumb.
So you could wrap your hands around that horn and
well, the horn really is only big enough to sit in the palm of your hand, really.
Yeah, so very portable and easy to hold.
And I saw a demonstration of it by Connie Bustani at a we did a talk together actually at the public library about a year ago, and she did a demonstration of it, and it was amazing. And you just scratch your head saying, but how could someone really work this to be effective at it? But you know, people were, and they were able to stuff that stuff and be quite efficient at it. And so I actually got that picture from Connie Bustani herself, and that is the horn that I believe her mother and her grandmother used at their family boucheries.
That's amazing, that photograph there. It makes you wonder how many of those are around, if any any families kept them.
You know, I wonder. People talk about it, and people who were part of these boucheries, that they will reference that, and they will say, oh, the horn, and we used to stuff it with the horn, but I have only seen that one. I'm sure there are others here and there.
Yeah, those kinds of implements. I mean, I guess larger farm implements, you know, were a little easier to keep and see.
Right.
That might have just been discarded, unfortunately.
Now, I was disappointed when you referenced your favorite photo. I thought that it was going to be of my dog balancing a Linka Buddha on her snout.
That's a lovely one. That's truly a lovely one as well. And it could inspire many, you know, could be a category at the Boudin cook-off. People could bring their
canine
pets. Balancing the Boudin. So yes, that photograph is worth the book as well. The book is out. It is published by the UL Press.
Right.
We have an incredible press here at the university, the UL Lafayette Press. Every book I've seen has been beautifully produced.
It was wonderful working with them. Michael Martin and James Wilson just helped an amazing amount to pull this thing together and actually get it done and get it out. And it was a pleasure working with them.
Yeah, the design, the paper, everything always works. Mm-hmm. Books feel good in your hand and just a real
credit. I had a vision of how I wanted it to look before we began, and they executed it. So it was great.
Better than you probably could have imagined that it was.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's the UL Lafayette Press. And, of course, they have a website with all of their new titles out and their back order titles. They will have a book sale, their annual holiday book sale, on Tuesday, December 4th from 5 to 7 at the Alumni Center. But you're also going to be doing a book signing this weekend, Saturday.
Is it this weekend?
December 1st.
This weekend at Barnes & Noble. I think, oh, gosh. I'm not sure of the time.
They can look it up,
They can
I'm
look
sure.
it up, and I'm sure.
You have a website as well where you've listed.
We sell the book through a website, boudinbook.com.
As well as the UL Press.
As well as the UL Press. And I actually, before I came here, I set up a special for your listeners this afternoon if they want to buy the book from boudinbook.com. And I lowered the price from $20 to $13. So I'll leave that up for the rest of the day.
And
people can say, for KRVS, and they can save some money.
Well, Boudin Links is the website that my guest Bob Carricker started many, many years ago now, and you can check that out. But you can also look at the book, Boudin, A Guide to Louisiana's Extraordinary Link, many ways to find out about it, and signings coming up, one this weekend, Saturday the 1st, and then on Tuesday, the UL Press Holiday Book Sale. They will have copies there as well, 5 to 7 at the Alumni Center.
Right.
So check out the UL Press, find out all these great titles, all Louisiana-centric. And again, Boudin, A Guide to Louisiana's Extraordinary Links. Beautiful photographs by Denny Culbert and written by my guest, Robert Carricker. Again, UL history professor and head of the department. Thank you so much for your work. And again,
thank you.
Coming in, making this your home, and telling us more about what we think we know about, but really don't know
well,
all that
much. Well, I'm fortunate to be here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.